How do I stop myself from turning to food during times of stress? Why aren't I losing weight after 3 months of clean eating? Why do I always lose a few pounds and then sabotage my success? If you've ever asked yourself these questions or ones like them, then this podcast is for you. This week, I'm answering the most common questions I receive from members of my Breakthrough Emotional Eating community on Facebook, and I promise you, the answers I give are not going to be what you expect. So if you are ready to learn what weight loss and emotional eating is really all about, then let's go. Do you want to lose weight but struggle to stay committed to a meal plan because you constantly feel hungry? Does food provide you with comfort when you are bored, angry, lonely, or sad? If so, you are in the right place. My name is Kristen Jones, and I'm a life coach specializing in emotional eating and weight loss, and I'm also a lifelong emotional eater. I want to provide you with information, motivation, and support so you too can learn to manage your issues with food and develop a healthy relationship with yourself. Welcome to the Breakthrough Emotional Eating Podcast. Hi, and welcome to the Breakthrough Emotional Eating Podcast. My name is Kristen Jones, and thank you so much for joining me this week. So this week, I decided that I had been getting a lot of really, really great questions in the Facebook community that I run. That's Breakthrough Emotional Eating. And if you are not a member and you're listening to this on the podcast and you want to become a member, oh, please do. I think it's someplace that I think you would really, if you found this podcast and you feel like emotional eating is your thing and you want to learn how to manage it as well as lose weight in the process, you want to be a part of the group. So you just go to www.facebook.com/groups/food breakthrough, or just go into Facebook, go to the search bar and put in Breakthrough Emotional Eating, and my group will show up. I'm the only Breakthrough Emotional Eating group there. There are other emotional eating groups, but none named like mine. So you absolutely can come and become a member of the group. That's where I am coming to you live from. Every week, I record my podcast live in my large free group. And this week, I decided that I've been getting some amazing questions, and I thought it was really, I haven't done a Q&A in such a long time. And so I decided that this entire episode was going to be dedicated to questions from members and questions about different aspects of emotional eating, aspects of losing weight. And I think that it's going to be, you're going to learn a lot. So if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, you need to have something to write with, because there's going to be a lot of really good information and a lot of good strategies that you're going to be able to start to use right away. So if you have something to write with, make sure you have it and you are ready to go. Out of respect for people's privacy, I am not going to mention people's names when I'll tell you what the question is, but I'm not going to mention people's names just because I want to be respectful of people's privacy. So I got one of the questions that I got was from a woman who is 62 years old. It's important to keep that in mind, 62 years old. And she's very, very active. And I mean, walks like 10,000 plus steps a day easily. And has been doing a diet. And she said, it's a very strict diet. And she's had no wavering from it for 3 months. And she hasn't lost any weight. Now she has a considerable amount of stress in her life. And she's wondering what kind of strategy would work for her. Why is this not working? And what kind of strategy would work for her? And so one of the things that's really important to remember is, and I hate to say this because I never want people to think like, okay, it's all downhill from 27, but really and truly, like, our bodies really start to dramatically change towards the end of our 20s. Like, things start to, when it comes to your metabolism, when it comes to your, like, your prime muscle, you know, muscle acquisition, how much muscle you have, how well you sleep, your body composition, your brain activity, all those things. 27 or 28 is like our peak. And then it starts to decline. And that seems so depressing, but it's really not. Because I think there's so much that goes along with, I wouldn't go back to my 20s to save my life. And so I know that that doesn't bother me, because I just know I don't expect myself to be like I was when I was in my 20s from a physical standpoint. But your body starts to change. It more significantly really starts to change after you hit 40. And that's because our metabolism starts to slow down. And every day as women, we are losing muscle mass every single day. Okay. So we are already losing muscle mass all the time. So after 40, having a very high level of exercise on a daily basis in combination with a very low and very strict diet that probably, I don't know if this was low calorie or not. She didn't give me any specifics, but if you do a low calorie, very strict diet for a long period of time, and you're very active, your body is going to start to see that as not a good thing. In fact, it starts to see it. It starts to read that as stressful. And when things are stressful for your body is only concerned about, your brain is only concerned about your survival. So what it's going to do is it's going to start to shut things down to make sure that you are alive, you stay alive. It doesn't care about it. Actually, from an evolutionary standpoint, it cares more about you carrying around extra weight, because that means you have fat stores that you're not going to starve. You're not going to fall. You're not going to wither away. It doesn't want that. You might want to be smaller than you are, but your body, your brain is like, no, we're going back to caveman times. We want to make sure we have enough fat on us so we can get through those times when we go without food for a really long time. That's not really the case for us anymore, but our bodies and our brain still thinks it is. So in this case, what I would say to this person is that they are probably eating too little. They're not eating enough food to compensate for the amount of activity that they're doing, as well as their stress level. They have a stress level. Not only are they stressing their body by doing so much activity as a person over 60, they also mentioned that they have some personal stress. They have a highly stressful job as well. They have actually had two jobs in addition to some personal things that were going on. She's lost her son, a couple of her sons, and there's just a lot of personal stress. So you combined all of those things and your body reads that stress as you're going to die. And so what it will do is it will stop all fat burning. It is going to hold on to every single thing, every single amount of fat and anything that you have, it's going to hold on to. It's not going to make any changes because it wants you to stay alive. And so in this case, what I would say to this woman is that one, probably need, if you can, to cut back a little bit on it, cut back on your, and this was not exercise. This is more like walking just because of the jobs that she does. Definitely. I think you need more food and eating in a way that will fuel your body, because it sounds like you're probably depriving your body and your body is responding in a way that you don't want it to, because again, it's concerned about your survival. So I would say you would probably, and it seems very counterintuitive, and I know there are probably some of you listening to this going, what is she talking about? Eating more food? Yes, it is incredibly common. And I have a number of clients who have gone down this route of eating too little food and not losing any weight. And then when we up their calories, they start losing weight, because their body doesn't panic anymore, like they're going to die. And so I would say gradually increasing the amount of food that you're eating, as well as doing some things, more self-care, more things that are taking care of you, maybe, going at walks, not being for exercise, but for calming, for stress relief, maybe doing a little meditation, guided meditations. There's plenty of free guided meditations on YouTube, as well as there's something called the Calm app, C-A-L-M. It's an app. They have a free version. They do introductory They have introductory courses on how to meditate. They're all guided, and you can do a lot of things for free on that app. There is a paid version, but you can do the free version. Absolutely. I do not get paid by Calm. I just think it's amazing. So that would be something I would suggest too, because her stress level has got to come down as well. Because again, your body reads stress as a panic, a fight or flight. We need her to survive, so we're not going to change anything. So no one's going to lose any weight. No one's going to get thin when there's a concern about survival. So we need to make sure that gets taken care of. All right. So what would work for her? What would work for her, again, would be upping her calories, but also I want to be just super clear with everybody. And if you're listening to this and if you've been listening to my podcast and you've been in the group for a while, and if you're new to the group, you might not have known this if you haven't gotten the welcome guide, because I say this really clearly in the welcome guide. I do not believe in diets. I do not believe in depriving or restricting ourselves. I don't believe in diets. I don't believe in punishing ourselves to lose weight. That's the reason why people lose weight and they gain it back. Because they come from a place of anger and hate and punishment and frustration with themselves. And so they just decide like, well, for 3 weeks, I'm going to be really, really quote unquote good. And in fact, what they're doing is they're punishing themselves. And that anger and that resentment comes through when they've lost their weight. Then they decide, well, I don't want to do that anymore. Now let me just go back to the way I was eating before. And then they can't figure out why they gain all their weight back. Well, because you didn't really address what the issue was. You didn't address the underlying issue of why you were overeating in the first place. And that's what people need to be looking at. And that's what I look at. And that's what I take my clients through. And I teach my clients to look at in the Breakthrough Membership is, why are you even overeating in the first place? And there are so many facets to look at. And there's so many different aspects of life to look at. It is, and this is something that you know, if you haven't heard it before, I'll tell it you now. If you are overweight, it is not about food. And I know that seems so hard to imagine, but it is not about food. It is about a lot of other things that are going on, and those things that are going on and your ability or inability to deal with them is what is causing you to then eat and overeat. And I'm not going to say eat the wrong things, because there's no wrong things. Food is food. When we start labeling food good and bad, that's when we get into trouble. So food is food. So really changing your overall viewpoint of how you got here, why you got here, and then looking at those things instead of just breaking down and addressing the food piece. All right, moving on. Question number two. So this person creates a plan at night before they go to bed, but the problem is that when they are eating something that they love, which is one of the main tenets of my program and my belief is that, and what I have learned from myself personally is that when we deprive ourselves, when we restrict ourselves, that just increases our desire for foods. And so when we know that foods are available and when we actually allow ourselves to have food and we understand how our brain works and we understand that we get to control our thoughts and control the decisions that we make, because eating something is a decision. It's not an instinct. It's a decision. You make a decision to pick something up and put it in your mouth. You also get to make a decision not to do that too. But your brain is not usually on your side. Your brain is not your best friend. And that's probably something that's really important for people to understand. We have to realize how our brain works. And that is another thing that I teach, is really in depth how your brain works and how you can change the thought patterns that you've had for years and years and decades, and getting into those habitual habits, learning how your brain works, and then learning how to change those patterns and know that you can do it, that you have the ability to do it. You have the ability to change any thought that comes into your head and relate that to food. That is really powerful. And that's what, in this case, this woman talks about how she has a problem with eating when she allows herself to eat something that she really likes. She can't stop eating it. So she eats and then she's like, oh my God, this tastes so good. I really want to keep eating it. Well, again, this is not about that food thing. It's not about the thing that she's eating, because it does taste good. I'm not saying it doesn't. Absolutely. Food does taste good. But we have to look at, the first thing we have to look at is, are you, and most likely this person is, and if this is something that sounds really familiar to you, like you feel like, oh, I can't eat any of that stuff, because once I eat something, I just immediately, like, it's like I have one bite and then I have to eat the whole thing and I go all overboard. So if you are in the comments right now, if you are listening to this live and you are in the group, if that applies to you, if you feel like, if I have one bite, and it's usually sugar is what people usually assume and usually associate this with, but if I have one bite of something that I love, one bite of cake, of a cookie, of candy, and I try to eat in moderation, it never works. If I have one, I go all in and I just have a whole vat of it, or I just have, 15 pieces of candy. If that is you, then please, the word I'm gonna have you write is landslide. If that is you, then write the word landslide in the comments, because it's like a landslide. It's like you take that one little bite and then it's like, everything just slides down the hill. It's like it all comes down to you. And that's, that is the working of your brain. That is not, and it's not a shortcoming of yours. It's not about self-discipline. It's not about, I need to have more willpower. Mm-mm. It's not about willpower. It's not about being disciplined and being mean to yourself, or saying like, no, you're not going to do that. No, it's more about understanding how your brain works, and understanding also that when we set ourselves up and have in our minds, we're in that diet mentality. I use the phrase diet mentality all the time. When we are in diet mentality, we are in a place where it's all or nothing. We're either on or we're off. We're either depriving and punishing ourselves, or we're completely giving in to everything and we have no control over anything. And we don't need to be in that place. That's why if you have recently joined the group and I have sent you the new member welcome sheet, the new member welcome guide, on the first page it says, we don't diet. We don't diet in this group, because they just don't work. A lifestyle change is what you need. And it's not a lifestyle change of like, ooh, I'm going to be really pure, and I'm going to eat clean, and I'm going to eat all of these things that I think are really good for me. And all the while in the back of your head, yeah, it's because you can't control yourself, and you're putting yourself down as you're saying all these things. Now, food is food, and we can have any food that we want. But one of the most powerful, and I want everybody to write this down, one of the most powerful phrases that you can say to yourself is, I can have it tomorrow. I don't have to eat it all now. Food isn't going anywhere. Okay. So again, I can eat it tomorrow. I don't have to eat it all now. Food isn't going anywhere. That is probably one of that to me, for me as an emotional leader, that was the turning point when I realized that I could tell myself at night, because y'all, I'll just tell you a story. I was a school teacher. I would come home. If I came home after school, it's anytime I came home, but if I came home right after school, which would be maybe 3:30, and I'd always fantasize about like, oh my God, I want to go home right after school and like take a nap. And I'd get home and I wouldn't want to take a nap. I'd want to eat. And so I'd get home and I would want to eat. And I kid you not, I would eat from the time I got home until I went to bed, constant. And it was just graze, never ate a meal. I didn't even like believe in meals. Like I didn't even think about that. It was always just like, what could I eat throughout the day? What could I eat throughout the evening and just keep snacking on? And yeah, and if anybody had ever asked me like, so what do you, do you think you eat very much? I'd say no, not at all. I don't eat very much. I eat very little. I kind of graze, and grazing is supposed to be really good for you. Well, it wasn't for me when I just ate constantly the whole night. And the only thing that got me to stop was the fact that I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore. And I'd have to go to sleep, and I'd go to sleep, and I'd wake up the next morning and I would feel so sick, because I would eat right up to going to bed. And then I would get into bed and I would just like, the food would be sitting in my stomach and it'd be like a lump. And oh my God, it was miserable, miserable. I know that sounds familiar to some of you. I know that you've done that pattern. So then what I would do is I wouldn't eat all day. I'd have very little to eat at school. Maybe like I'd have a lunch. It would be like really lame, really small. And I had to repeat the whole pattern over and over and over. And that would be my routine. And that was the problem. And there were some other problems, which we'll probably get into. And there's another question about eating at night, which I'll share a little bit more about my personal experiences. But it's getting out of that cycle, that diet mentality, that restrict, 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 and then just eat, 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 eat. And then we feel sick. And then we do the whole pattern again. I have another question about that, about, you know, fasting, binging, it's restrict and binge. It's that diet mentality. Either we're on or we're off. And we really need to start changing how we think about ourselves, but also how we think about food, because that's really important too. So the whole idea is remembering that if you have something in front of you that you like, you don't have to eat it all right now, because tomorrow is not the start of your new diet. Okay. It's just not. It's not. And I don't care if it's Thanksgiving. I don't care if it's Christmas. I don't care if it's your birthday. You don't ever need to think, oh my gosh, I've got to eat all of this now and eat as much as I can, because tomorrow it's going to really suck because I've got to cut back on everything and I've got to be good and I've got to be pure and I have to, you know, I have to diet again. Mm-mm. No, because that just doesn't work. And so what I really teach people is, how do you change that way of thinking? And does it take, you know, does it happen right away? I'm going to be honest. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because we're talking, for many of you, for me, it was from the time that I was probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. I mean, I went on my first diet when I was in seventh grade. I mean, like seventh grade, I was pretty, it was a serious juice fast in seventh grade. I mean, I started dieting when I was in seventh grade. And, you know, I didn't really get a handle on this until probably 3.5, 4 years ago. So this is, you know, and I'm old. So it's, you know, it takes time. It's like, I didn't, you know, that was decades that I had these dysfunctional patterns of eating. So me changing this for a month, that wasn't that I had to be patient. I had to change my thought patterns. I had to change my beliefs about myself. I had to change my beliefs about food. But getting to the other side of this and doing the hard work, man, can't even compare. Can't even compare to how it feels. And I know with new members, when they start doing the deeper work, not the food stuff, but the other work, the how we feel about ourselves, how we treat ourselves, when they start doing that kind of work, that's when the light bulbs start going on. And that's when they start thinking, okay, now I'm feeling like, now this is starting to make sense. And now I'm feeling, I already feel better. I'm going to tell you all, it doesn't go away. You will always have to deal with this. You will always have to be aware that your brain will revert back, because there are these thought patterns that you have, and we can change them, but we can't get them to go away. We don't ever get rid of, that's another thing that's really important. We don't ever get rid of thought patterns and beliefs. They just start to be less loud in our heads. They start to be less prominent thoughts that we have, but they're always there. So we always have to work on that, because people can have, you know, things go on in their lives where they have 2, 3, 4, maybe 10 years of just rocking it, feeling really good. And then life happens. And all of a sudden they go back to those patterns that they're always there. They're kind of hiding. They're pretty quiet. And then they start to rear their ugly heads. So we always have to be aware that we always need to be working on these things and making sure we are focused and taking care of ourselves. And we are trying to stay away from that diet thing. All right. Next question. Oh, I love this question. Okay. And this is from somebody I know personally, in my life. I'm so excited. So stress eating. So How many, when I say just the word stress eating, for how many of you, whether you are listening to this podcast or if you're live in the group, stress eating, if that is something, when I say that, you're like, oh, that's me. Yeah, I'm a stress eater. I'm a stress eater. If you identify yourself as a stress eater, please comment stress in the comments. Stress, just write the word stress. And then I'll know that I'm talking directly to you. So stress eating. Again, here's going to be, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. Stress eating is not about food. Okay. It's not about food. And it's really not about the stressor. It's not about the event that has happened. It's not about your boss getting mad at you. It's not about, you know, the your kids, you know, mouthing off to you, or you having, you know, a fight with your spouse, or somebody being rude and cutting you off on the street, or, you know, you getting into it with a friend. It's not even about that. And I know that's going to surprise you all, but it really is more about you and your ability or your understanding of how to process the emotions that you're feeling. So for instance, when we have a stressful, something happens, like I'm going to use an example of like a flat tire. You get a flat tire, you're, you know, driving to work, or you're driving your kids to the soccer game or something, and you get a flat tire. And the flat tire is like, you have no control over whether or not you get a flat tire. You have no control over it. I've seen brand new cars getting flat tires because there's all this, especially here in California, there is so much garbage on the road. You have no control over that. That's not something you can do anything about. It's totally neutral. That circumstance is totally neutral. But it's how you choose to respond or lack of response. And so what most people do is when those stressful situations happen, they don't like how they feel. I mean, I don't think anybody is like, oh my God, I love being stressed. No, you don't. Most people don't like being stressed. They don't like that feeling of, I feel out of control. I don't know what I'm doing. This is just making me, and it's a very disconcerting, very hard to describe, but disconcerting feeling that you have. That's what you don't like. You don't like how you feel. You don't like how the stress makes you feel. If it's especially an interaction with another human being, there's always going to be that, is that person mad at me? Either I'm mad at them, or are they mad at me? Or what do they think of me? Or I shouldn't be treated that way. Or I feel really bad. It's like, it's this back and forth ping pong, and your brain starts going with all of these thoughts and all these beliefs and all these other things from your past come up, because your brain starts going, well, she's thinking about this thing that happened. Well, let's recall all the other times this happened to her. So your brain just starts going, and it thinks it's doing you a favor by bringing up all these things that you've been thinking of, that you're thinking about. And it's really not, it really sends you down a spiral, but your brain thinks it's doing the right thing. And so it's that you have to address. It's that you have to be like, okay, how am I feeling? What am I feeling in my body? And one of the first things that we have to realize and remember is that we are never intended as human beings to be happy all the time. We're not. You are not supposed to be happy 100% of the time. If you're on Facebook, if you're on Instagram, and you're looking at other people's profiles, shoot, they look like they have the best life in the world, and your life is in the toilet, but their life is amazing, and their life looks so fabulous. Well, no, that's because that's what they're showing you. No one's life is 100% happy all the time, but we want to believe that that's what we're supposed to have. And that is not reality. Life is 50-50, 50% positive, 50% negative. And when we can understand and accept that, like, oh, this flat tire, like this is part of my 50%. Okay. My 50% bad. Okay. All right. Just deal with it. Let's just deal with it. Let's just let the feeling be there and be okay with it. Or let's sit and let's process it. Let's allow the feeling to be there. Because most of the time what happens is our brain tells us we shouldn't be feeling that way because we're supposed to be happy all the time. So we have to override our brain and tell our brain, no, it's okay that I feel this way. It's okay for me to be uncomfortable. I am going to survive being uncomfortable. It is not going to kill me. One of the things that most people do not understand is feelings are merely vibrations in our bodies. Sorry, it's a vibration that we create in our bodies, and it will never kill you. It will never do anything detrimental to you. It's just a feeling. And we are safe and we're okay to have those feelings. But when we start to think like, oh my gosh, this is so uncomfortable. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I need to stop feeling this way. Well, what's the easiest way to stop feeling something? That would be to distract yourself. There are lots of distractions. We call it buffering in life coaching. And there's lots of things that you can do to buffer and to keep those emotions away, because that's really what you want to do, is you want to keep them at bay. You want to keep them away from you. How can you keep them away from you? Well, a lot of people do drugs. A lot of people smoke weed. A lot of people drink a whole lot. I know for me, I was afraid of all those things. I had a couple experiences as a young person that really, thankfully now, you know, kept me away from drugs and alcohol, because I had some experiences within my family that were very, very negative, and I didn't want to be those people. So instead I turned to food. Food became my drug. If you haven't read my book, When Food Is Your Drug, that's why I named it that, because that was my drug of choice. I would never do drugs, and I don't drink at all, but I can eat with the best of them, and I can eat to distract myself and to push those feelings away like nobody else. And that's emotional eating. And that's what we need to deal with. So the stress eating, it's not about just starting to, it's about you wanting to avoid feeling those feelings of stress and a feeling that, gosh, are people upset with me? Gosh, what is this going to be? Am I going to keep my job? What's happening with my relationship with my husband? My kids hate me. Oh my God, what do I do? All of those things. We don't want to feel those things, so we turn to food. So what do? You get to accept that, okay, you know what? This is part of my 50%, and it's not going to kill me. So let me just be able to be comfortable. Let me start to lean in to when I feel uncomfortable, and I will realize how strong I am. I will realize how capable I am, and that I can do anything. I can get through, and I can feel any feeling I need to feel. And that's the power, is allowing yourself to feel those uncomfortable feelings and know that you're going to be okay. Now, I know for many of you, you might be thinking, well, what does that actually look like? Well, interestingly enough, I actually teach in my membership, I teach how do you sit with a feeling and allow it to be there and be uncomfortable as all get out, but sit, allow it to be there, and then move on from it. And it's pretty powerful. There are definitely steps that you take, and it is about really being okay with feeling those feelings and then moving and then telling yourself, we're not going to dwell on this for 5 days. We're not going to become depressed. We're not going to become sad. We're going to feel the feelings. We may cry. It's going to be a good cry. And then we're moving on, because we got things to do. We have people who are depending on us. We are depending on ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves. Let's move on. So very, very powerful stuff. But again, just understanding and catching yourself when you go to the drawer where the candy is. And it's because you're angry because your husband said something that was just not very smart and not very nice. And you're like, okay, I don't like how I'm feeling. So I'm going to have some chocolate, and that's going to make me feel better in that instant. And then it's gone. And then we need more. And then it's gone. And then we need more. Instead of just in the beginning, sitting and saying, okay, what am I really upset about? So that's my suggestion, is always to ask yourself, what am I really upset about? Because it might not even be that what he said or what your kids said or what the neighbor said. It's your feelings of like, oh, these people don't like me. What do they think of me? Oh my gosh, they probably think I'm a horrible person. Then you're starting to create that negative pattern, that negative thought pattern. And that's the spiral that you go down. And so you get to decide, okay, hold on. I gotta get control of my thoughts. And you do have control of your thoughts. Something else that I teach as well. How do we start to control our thoughts and pick and choose which thoughts are going to work for us and which thoughts are not? And this is way more, what I teach is way more than dieting and than losing weight. This is about like, how do you run your life and run your life in a way that is productive and that keeps you feeling really good and it keeps you moving in the right direction. All right. So let me stress eating. Okay. I want to make sure that I got to all of those points. Okay. I did. Awesome. Okay. So moving on. All right. Our next questions. I am actually going to take just a moment and scroll through and look for any questions. It is absolutely possible to sit. Yes, absolutely. You are always in control of your brain as well as your body, as well as everything else. So what about boredom eating? Well, boredom eating, I'm gonna throw a little, that's a great question, Lori. I'm gonna throw a little monkey wrench in. I don't think boredom eating is actually boredom eating. I think it's feeling lonely. I think it's we had somebody post in the group FOMO, fear of missing out. And I think boredom eating is a way of saying, it's kind of a socially acceptable way of really saying that I feel left out. I don't feel like I'm bored. Y'all, I'm never bored. I've got so many projects that I could be doing around my house. I have so many things I could do for my business that I could do, you know, in life in general. I never am bored. Do I want to do those things? No. Do I feel lonely sometimes? Do I feel like everybody else is out having a good time and I'm here and why isn't anybody called? That's what you have to get to. That's what you have to start thinking more about. Is it really boredom? Because I don't think boredom eating is boredom. I think it's loneliness. I think it's feeling separation and detachment from people. And we don't ever have to feel separation or detachment from people because we get to choose how we want to do things, how we want our lives to go. And I'm going to tell you one of the most common people say boredom eating at night. And I'm going to tell you that I don't think boredom eating at night is about boredom. I'm going to tell you that if you are single, and that was my situation, I was very lonely, very lonely. And I did not want to deal with that. I did not want to address the fact that I was scared to go on to match.com. I was scared to go and put myself out there. So instead of doing that, what did I do? I stayed home. And then I complained about how I was lonely. And then I would eat because I was lonely. The only person who held me back was me. If you are in a relationship, I will tell you that in my experience with coaching women who are married, there is oftentimes a disconnection between them and their husbands, and husbands and wives absolutely have a different level of intimacy on a weekly basis, daily basis, and that oftentimes can be what causes that nighttime eating. Is not really addressing that you feel lonely because maybe there's a disconnect between you and your partner. Maybe there's a disconnect between your levels of libido or any of those things. And that only can be resolved through conversation, but it really, we can't control other people's behavior. The only person that you can control is you. So if you feel like that could be it, then you have to look for yourself within you. Do I not feel attractive? Do I not feel desirable? And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what weight anyone is. You always can feel desirable. if you love yourself, and that's really what I get at, get deep into with people, is we have to, you will not be able to lose weight and keep it off if you come from a place of, oh, I hate my body. I hate the way I look now. And I want to get to this other place. Nothing good comes from hate, ever, ever. So finding what you love about yourself. And I know so many of you are rolling your internal, rolling your eyes, external, rolling your eyes, like, well, I don't love anything about myself. And that's what you have to work on. And that's what you have to get back to, is that love of yourself, that appreciation, that respect, and that value of yourself. That's what has to be dealt with. And that's the bigger piece. Because again, I say, it's not about food. You don't overeat. You don't overeat because oh, the food tastes so good. There's something going on. You're not valuing yourself. You're not making yourself a priority. Showing yourself love is not punishing yourself by going on a super strict diet, but it's also not taking the wheels off and just being like, I don't care. Neither one of those things is love. Love is found right in the beginning, in the middle. And again, that is what I help people with. That is what I help people work on. Because one of the things that's very different about me and about my program is that, do I have all of the fitness? I never talk about fitness. I never talk about working out. I don't do that on purpose, but I am way more about how we feel about ourselves, all of that, because I do have all of that fitness background. I do have all the nutrition background, but I know for me, none of that made any difference at all. Because the only thing that made a difference was how I felt about myself. And so I come at it from a life coaching standpoint, from the standpoint of, we've got to work on your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself and your self-worth and your valuing of yourself. We don't have that. We are building a house on quicksand. And that's the cycle of losing weight and gaining it back, losing weight, gaining it back. If you are not dealing with how you feel about yourself, you are wasting your time. And I don't waste people's time, and I don't waste people's money. I just won't do it. So if somebody's not willing to look at how they feel about themselves, they are not somebody that I will work with, because I have to work with people who are willing to open up and really expose themselves and say, yes, this is what I need to work on. Not expose yourself to anybody else. Expose yourself to yourself. Allow yourself to see it and allow yourself to own it and be okay with it. And know that, my goodness, you are not the only one. So, I've gone off on a tangent. Hold on. Let me get back to my questions. All right. So, and some of these questions will kind of overlap. And I appreciate that people wrote these, and a lot of them I have kind of addressed. And so I'm going to kind of go through these quickly, and I'll reference things that I've spoken about in the previous moments here. So what's the best way not to give in to temptations and cravings? And again, that's looking at temptations and cravings. How are you feeling about yourself? Why are you even doing this? If you don't have a strong why for why you're doing this, and you don't remind yourself of that every single day, then it's going to be really easy to give in to temptation and cravings. Because in the moment, you have something called your primal brain, and your primal brain is like you as a five-year-old, and it wants what it wants when it wants it. And we have two parts of our brain. That primal brain is very strong and it's very loud. And it's the one that keeps you alive. It's the one that does the fight or flight, but it's also the one that wants to keep you happy. And if you're stressed or you're really, really hungry and you've been depriving yourself, it's like, oh my God, a donut is not going to do anything. It's not going to hurt you. Don't worry. Go ahead and eat it. And you completely believe it, because you're like, well, of course, that sounds fabulous. My brain told me to do it. Why not? Once you realize that part of your brain is not on your side, you learn how to talk back to it and say, nope, we don't do that anymore. We value ourselves more. We respect ourselves more. We don't give in to those things. We put ourselves in a different place, and we hold ourselves accountable and valuable. And so not giving in to temptations and cravings, again, it's not about food. It's about how are you talking to yourself? What are the words that you're saying to yourself? And that's words you're saying to yourself 5, 7, 8 hours earlier throughout the day. How are you talking to yourself? Because if you're talking to yourself like garbage, you're going to get home and you are not going to feel good. And when you don't feel good about yourself, you don't make good decisions. You just don't. You just don't. So it's an inside job. We got to start thinking about and working on how do we talk to ourselves on a daily basis? Is it woo-woo? Is it out there? Heck yeah, it is. And it's absolutely true. And it's 100% the solution. And so if this is not your thing, that is okay. It is so okay. If it's not your thing, then you can, go and I encourage you to find somebody that you connect with. But if you know, even if you're uncomfortable, if you know what I'm saying is probably the truth, then stick around and start working on that kind of stuff. Okay. All right. How do you, and this is another question. This is a great question too. How do you gain self-discipline? It's not self-discipline to do things that are uncomfortable. You just do things that are uncomfortable and you remind yourself that it's okay to be uncomfortable because that is the key. I love the way this person asked this question. But again, it's not self-discipline. It's self-love. You have to love yourself enough to know your why, to know why you're doing it, to have that piece of like, why I'm doing it? Because I'm valuable and I'm important and I like how I feel when I make good choices and when I take care of myself. It's not about anybody else. I'm sorry, it's not about your grandkids. It's not about it's about how do you feel about you? How do you feel about you? What are the thoughts that you think about you? That's what's important. So it's not self-discipline, but it's knowing that you can do uncomfortable, hard things. And how do you know? Because we do them every day, but we don't remind ourselves of that. So that's what we start doing too, is we start reminding ourselves of, I do hard things all the time and I can do all of these things. I can do even more than that. Do things that are good for you, not overeating, not buying or making trigger foods, working out regularly, et cetera. And again, it's not about self-discipline. It's about how do you feel about yourself? It's working on from the ground up. How do you feel about yourself? Are you worthy? Absolutely you are. Is life always going to be Disneyland? No, it's not. Things are going to be uncomfortable and they're going to be hard. And that's just part of life. Things there's no easy street. It is always going to be, it's always going to be work, but it's going to be work coming from a place of love. And that's the key. Okay. Jamie, hello. I just saw your name pop up. You make me so happy. Okay. I love this question. How do you grow your self-worth and not get stuck in the despairs of life? That is such a great question. Such a great question. And this comes back to my question, to my connection with the flat tire. Life outside of us, we have no control over. And it's completely neutral. It doesn't mean anything to us until we assign it value. Until we think it's important, until we think something is bad or good. Everything is neutral. Everything that happens in your life is neutral. Everything. Until you give it value and you give it power. And so when it comes to your self-worth is not dependent on what happens around you. Your self-worth is dependent upon how you feel about yourself, how you work on yourself, and what you are doing to remind yourself of how valuable you are. So life can happen around you, but you keep doing the work. You keep reminding yourself that's the 50% of my life that's really pretty poopy right now. But you know what? I'm a rock star over here. I nothing's changed with me. I still got all my amazing qualities, my amazing habits, my amazing things that I do, who I am. That doesn't change. If we let it change, shame on us. We can't do that. We just cannot do that. We get to decide what happens outside of us does not impact how we feel. We have to remember who we are, and who we are is who we are 24/7 all the time, but regardless of how life goes. And again, it's 50-50. Okay. Last bit of my questions. Again, this is a good one. Somebody thinks that they're sensitive to sugar, doesn't want to go down the route of no sugar. Love that, because she's concerned about, you know, binge restricting and binging, and thinks that this will lead to binge eating. It absolutely will. And so again, that's getting back to those thoughts of, I can eat something and I can be in control. And I have to tell myself that I can be in control. Because if we keep telling ourselves, oh my God, I just can't eat sugar. Sugar just has this lock on my life, and sugar just controls me. If you keep telling yourself that, you better believe that's what sugar is going to do. And that's true with anything. The way we talk to ourselves is how our life will go. How you talk to yourself is how your life will go. And you can think, well, gosh, I really talked to myself really well. You've got to start, we have to start really being honest and really dissecting, like, am I really doing that? Or am I just saying that because it's kind of hard? It's really, you know, and I'm not seeing any changes right away. Well, we got to keep working on it. We got to keep doing it, because again, didn't take you a week and a half to get here. It's not going to take a week and a half for things to start going away. Yes. So absolutely. I am not an advocate of the giving up something. Everything. Food is food. Food is food. It's neither good nor bad. What it is it's either foods we love or foods we love that don't love us back. There are definitely foods that we can eat that don't necessarily love us, that don't necessarily, you know, have a proper response that works for us. And that's okay. That's okay. But we don't shame that food. We don't make that food bad. We just choose not to. It's always about what's your motivation. What's the why behind why you're making a decision? Are you making a decision to punish yourself? Are you making a decision to go back into being like you're on a diet? That's not what we want to do. So again, you always have to be honest with yourself about that. Where is that coming from? This is a great question. And I know we are getting close to an hour, and I usually try not to go any more than an hour, but my goodness, this is just so good. So for anyone who is on this, on this podcast, if you're watching live and you are a member of the Breakthrough membership, we usually have a coaching call today at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. We will as soon as I'm done, but these are too good to pass up. So just know that, we'll get there, and we will have our meeting. I promise. So what I teach in Breakthrough Emotional Eating and in the Breakthrough membership, can this work alongside a diet plan that is not like something like Weight Watchers or keto or weight loss surgery or any of those things? Can it work hand in hand? My answer, if you had asked me this a year ago, I would have said absolutely not. No way. You have to do it. It's my way or the highway. I'm so silly. That would have been my response. No, I absolutely believe, because you have to get very clear on why you're doing something and the choices that you're making. If you wanted to do something, if you wanted to do something like Weight Watchers, if you wanted to do something like keto's a little bit of a stretch, but it's absolutely possible. It's how you think about not only yourself, but the decisions and why you're making the decisions. Are you, you know, is that whole idea of like keto, for instance, is it because, you know, you don't feel you deserve to have carbs? You know, a lot of people will realize they'll restrict from carbs, and then they'll put carbs back into a certain level, and they're like, I really just don't feel very good. So then we kind of play with like, okay, let's just find the level that works for you and that works for your body. And that's fine, but you have to do the thought work. What I do is so much more. It's so not, because I don't tell people what to eat. I don't tell anybody. You don't get a meal plan. You make your meal plan, but you make your own. I don't tell you what to eat. I don't give you a food list. I don't, there's not a food of approved foods or non-forbidden foods. Everything is available to you. Everything is available to you. For some people, that is so scary. That's not about food. That's about you trusting yourself. And that's a much deeper issue that does not have to do with food. And it probably infiltrates every aspect of your life because somebody told you a long time ago that you don't make good decisions, or they questioned a decision that you made, or you made a decision and something went poorly and somebody told you, you don't make good decisions, and you believed them. That's what that's about. It's not about food. So could any program, could any food plan that somebody wants to go on, could it work with, I think it's absolutely vital that if you want to lose weight, you need to be doing, you need to be looking at these thought patterns. You need to be changing how you're thinking about yourself. And there are just a handful of us that are doing this kind of work. It's becoming more and more prominent, but in general, no, it's not. People are not doing this. So I have no problem if somebody wants to be on, if somebody wants to be going to Weight Watchers. In fact, I have a couple members who are in Weight Watchers, and I have no problem with that because Weight Watchers doesn't do the thought stuff as deep as I do. No, it doesn't. So I am totally okay with people doing that. That in fact, if that works for somebody, absolutely. But usually ends up happening is eventually a person kind of changes how they go about doing things, but it's the thought work and it's the uncovering those pieces. That's what's really important. It's not the food. It's not the point system. It's not anything like that. It's all about the stuff behind it. And that's what nobody's dealing with. And that's what I will get to, what I will help you get to and help you figure out. Deciding. Okay. You make your meal plan and all of a sudden you get to the meal and you're like, I just don't feel like eating this. There's a portion of that that is indecision. And that's okay. The easiest way I tell people, don't get nutted up about what you choose to eat. What I would say is I ask people, and for those people who I don't know, I do ask people to write their meal plan out ahead of time. We don't go into a meal not knowing what we're going to eat. We go into our day making our meal plan for the day so we don't have to think about it, so we don't have to have those obsessive thoughts about food all the time. We let those go. But what we have to do is we have to look at, okay, so what, you get to the meal and you're like, I don't really want to have this now. I don't really want to eat this now. The simplest thing to do is to give yourself a couple of options. And you're not eating everything. You're giving yourself some options. It's either going to be option A or option B, and I'm going to write them both down. We can't get too hung up on that. Okay. I'm just going to pick it. Option A, option B. Not quite sure what I'm going to feel like. Breakfast, might want to have cereal, or might want to have eggs, might want to have cereal. I'm going to put them both down. I'm not going to eat them both, because the most important thing is that I'm eating to satisfy it. So I don't need to eat both of them, but I have the option. So that's an easy one. How do I not, such a good question. How do I not diet and lose weight? How do I make the change from diet food choices to normal food choices? Oh my goodness. That is such a good question. And it is, it's very, very challenging. And it is a process. It is a process. And so many of my members know this, that it is a process for a lot of people, but it has taken some members quite a long time to be able to eat really what they truly want to eat. And it takes practice. It takes going to it takes reconnecting with yourself and giving yourself permission to even think about eating foods that you like. You know, one of the foods that we always talk about in the group, and we talk about it jokingly, is chicken parm. Chicken parmesan. Like, oh my gosh, nobody could ever eat chicken parm and lose weight. Well, I will tell you just recently, there's somebody who is in the group who has, you know, been stalled out. And oh my goodness, if she hasn't started eating her chicken parm, and she has started to lose weight because she's realized, I need to be eating my chicken parm. I don't have to eat as big of a portion as I ate before, I can eat less and I can still eat it and I can enjoy it and savor it. And it's amazing. And I can leave dinner and not feel sick because I had to eat the whole thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's a process. That takes a process. That is something that is something you move through. And that's what we work on. It's what we work on all the time is how do you start to change those that diet mentality? And like I said, you know, I was in seventh grade when I started. I'm sure many of you, I know many, some people younger than me, you know, under the age of 10, six, going to a Weight Watchers meeting, you know, that absolutely, absolutely. So how do we do that? We take it and we change how we look at food. Food's not the enemy. There's not good food and bad food. There's just food. And it's more about how are we eating and what's the why behind it? What's the motivation and why are we eating when we're not hungry? That's the bigger issue. And looking at all the ripple effects from there. All right. How do I self-soothe without using food? How do I self-soothe without using food? Well, the first thing is, and this is a great question as well. There's so many good questions here. But I would say self-soothing is one, comes from a place of feeling like you shouldn't ever feel bad. And that's where leaning into the discomfort is really important, is being okay. Don't make feeling uncomfortable or being upset. Don't make that a bad thing. It's a part of being a human being. If we can get rid of that and allow ourselves to just feel our feelings, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, we don't even need to label them good or bad, upset, elated, you know, they're all over the board, but every emotion is okay. No emotion is bad. In fact, no emotion is an issue. Like just not feeling anything, that's a problem. But we have to allow ourselves to feel. When we feel, we come from a place of like, okay, I'm going to let myself feel these feelings. And I will tell you that members have told me all the time, they're doing the process. They're sitting with their emotions and it's like 5 minutes and they're like, okay, I'm done. I felt it. It let it move through me and I'm good. And I got to get on with my day because I can't sit and wallow. Can't just sit and stay in that place. So recognizing that self-soothing, we have to be okay. We don't need to soothe ourselves. We need to be okay with feeling uncomfortable and being okay with that and leaning into it and knowing that every time we are uncomfortable with feeling a certain feeling, the sooner we acknowledge it and we allow it to be there, the sooner it goes away. And then we don't need to self-soothe. We need to self-soothe when we are denying that we're actually feeling a certain way and we're making ourselves wrong for feeling that way. That's the issue. It's not about self-soothing. It's about why do you even need to do that in the first place? You need to be okay with being uncomfortable and that uncomfortable feelings are not bad feelings and you're not a bad person for feeling that way. So that's what we really have to make sure that we're in touch with. So, because this person says, you know, I eat a fairly healthy, she eats a fairly healthy diet. So when she wants to self-soothe, she turns to sugary foods, which most people do. And again, it's because we feel like our brain tells us, well, we've done it 200 times that when we get stressed, we turn to sugar foods. So that's what we're going to keep telling her to do. No, we need to tell our brain, we need to reprogram our brain and say, no, we don't do that anymore. That's not what we do. We sit with our feelings and then it passes in 5 minutes and we move on and there's no sugar to be had. We don't need it. See, once you understand and you understand how your brain works and you understand this process and you allow yourself to feel feelings and you allow yourself to be present with them and not feel like you have to like, I gotta get out of my skin. Oh my God, I've gotta feel better. Once you allow yourself to sit with those feelings, and I'm not talking about 2 days, I'm talking about 15 or 20 minutes at the most, and then move on. You've got a life to live. You're not going to sit and wallow in that. And we're certainly not about giving other people power in our lives. Just don't do that. We don't do that. And so that is, you know, the reason why we turn to the sugary things is because that's been the pattern. And your brain is like, well, we got to do the same thing we did before. Nope. We train it to do something different. And that is, we allow ourselves to sit with it. Let's see. Yes. So it says, can your program help me lose weight without eating to deal with my emotions? If so, how? Exactly what I said. We learn how to sit with our feelings. We learn how to acknowledge them. But the only way that we can do that is when we have worked on, or when we are simultaneously working on, how we feel about ourselves. Because if we don't believe that we can sit through hard things, if we don't believe that we can get through discomfort, it's all for naught, because we're just going to keep turning back to food because we just don't believe that we're strong enough. We don't think that we can do it. And we keep telling ourselves that. We keep telling ourselves that. And our brain keeps saying it. And we believe it. We've got to stop believing, and we've got to start deciding what we want to start thinking, and not just necessarily what our brain is going to be thinking. Woo! All right. We got some good stuff going on here. Good work. Absolutely. Thank you so much, y'all, for so many just amazing comments here. So many good comments. There was something I was looking at. And again, I don't like to use people's names, so I want to know. Just want to look at a question here. Okay. The reason you plan your, that's a great question. The reason you plan your meals, somebody asked about like why we plan meals. The reason why you plan your meals ahead of time, the reason why I ask you to do that is because it gives your brain direction. Because if your brain isn't told what to do and it doesn't have a direction, it will go all over the place. It'll be very impulsive. And it'll do whatever it wants to do. And it'll tell you to do whatever it thinks it wants to do in that moment. So you are trying. And what I teach you is I teach about the two parts of your brain. You have the prefrontal cortex and the primal brain. And the primal brain, the one that wants you to be happy all the time, which tells you that you need to eat M&Ms and donuts all the time at work. That's the brain that makes decisions for us about 90% of the time. Because it's the part, I call it the party brain. It's the party brain. It's the fun brain. It's the fun side of you. It's not the side of you. I mean, granted, the fun side of you can be all parts of you, but that's the one that wants you to stay alive, also wants you to be happy, and doesn't really care about long-term consequences. It wants what it wants right now. And so we plan meals ahead of time because it trains the other part of your brain, which is the prefrontal cortex, to be more powerful, because we're making a long-term decision. That's why we're not making this decision 5 minutes before we eat. We're making it in the morning or the night before, but you're making that plan and then you stick to it. And then your brain starts to trust you, because right now, for most of us, our brain doesn't really trust us, because we say we're going to do one thing and then we do another. We say we're going to eat in a certain way. We're going to lose weight. And then we completely go off the rails. So we got to get some trust back with our brain too. That's why we plan meals. We plan meals because we want to show our brain, we want to give our brain direction. We want to show our brain that when we say we're going to do things, we're actually going to follow through. Okay. Let me make sure. Yeah, feeling feelings is not easy. That is absolutely for sure. 100%. Yep. Atomic Habits. Oh, yes. Love him. Okay. All right. So I'm going to be super, super transparent with y'all. That it's that time of year. I think it's just, people need to understand that, and this is what I talked about. If you last week's podcast will be released tomorrow or Friday, And last week I talked about like change doesn't happen unless you make changes. Like you can wish it all you want, but if you're not getting, if you're not moving in the direction that you want to be moving in, if you're feeling like, yeah, I want to make changes, but why am I not doing it? Like, I know all these things I'm supposed to be doing. I know what to do. Why am I not doing them? Again, it's not about coming down harder on yourself. It's also not about making excuses for yourself. It is about being honest and looking at how am I really feeling about myself and where do I need to get back to start telling my brain and start controlling my thoughts that I have in my head about myself and my ability and why I want to be doing this. That's what we really need to, that's where we start first, is really foundational stuff. I do way more thought work stuff with people than I do food things in the beginning, because I really want people, we got to get our head right. We got to get our mindset right. We've got to get our head on straight. We've got to feel good about ourselves. We've got to feel supported. And so that is, so you absolutely, there are a number of things that I provide in the group and in the free group, but there is a paid membership and it is something that is absolutely available to everybody. I just recently, probably in the last 6 months, maybe 6 months ago, maybe a little bit more than 6 months ago, I cut the price of the membership in half because I wanted to make it more accessible to people. I wanted people to be able to be a part of it. I wanted people to be able to have as much value as they could get and be able to have access to all of my courses and all of the in-depth materials and information, as well as have access to me and have access to coaching calls. One of the things in the membership is we have five coaching calls a week, five opportunities. Right now, one of them is 20 minutes past, but I feel like this is important. The coaching calls are really, really important to allow people to be able to, have access. And I just have felt there have been so many people reaching out. Feeling like I'm ready to make a change, but I just don't know what to do. So with total transparency, Kathy has put the link to the membership. I'll tell you straight up, it's $59 a month. $59 a month. You get all the group coaching calls. You get access to all of the course content. You get access to hands down. And those people who are in my group, who are in the comments, like, how amazing is our community? How amazing and supportive is the community of people that you are with in this membership? It is unbelievable. I mean, people post something. I just was thinking of a post that went up, I think it was a day or two ago, and somebody owned and admitted something that they were kind of embarrassed about. And like everybody jumped on and was like, oh my God, I totally understand that. I totally get that. I totally feel how you feel. I understand what you're feeling. I mean, it is amazing. People are so incredibly supportive of each other. And I just added a new coaching call on Tuesday mornings so I can connect with my people in Europe. It's usually a smaller call. We had a call yesterday and it was amazing. I came away from it feeling amazing. Got two private messages from people going, oh my God, that was such a great call, because a lot of times they're smaller. I think we had four people on that call, four or five, and everybody got to communicate and have time to talk about what was going on with them. It was just it's really amazing. There's also opportunities if you want more one-on-one time with me, there's opportunities for you to have that in the membership. That is for an additional fee, and it's the reason why I do that. It's because I used to have it included in the membership, but the membership fee was a lot higher. Again, it's $59 a month. It was almost double that, but you got a monthly coaching call with me. But it was really cost prohibitive for people to be able to join. So I decided that was not worth it. It was not worth it to me to be able to limit people, to not allow people to be able to be in it because they couldn't afford it. It just broke my heart. So it was like, nope, I'm lowering the price. I want to allow people to be able to have access to it. And then if they want to pay to work with me one-on-one, that's great. And I'll tell you, I do probably like every other month, I do like a special for like 3 days where I sell coaching calls at half price. And so there's always opportunities to be able to get more help that you need. But again, The community is amazing. We're moving off of Facebook. Woo-woo! Super happy about that. But all the information's in the comments. And if you have any questions, you can DM me. I answer all my messages. I am the person that you're talking to when there's a message sent to you, it's me. I'm the person who's messaging you. So if you have any questions, if there's anything that you want to ask me, and if you're ready, jump on in. It's that time of year. It's always that time of year, but people just have to get ready and they have to be in the right place. And so if you're ready, now's the time. And it's, I always tell people, like, if you're like, oh, well, maybe if I wait a month, maybe I can figure this out. And where will you be in a month? I want you feeling better now. And again, it's more about you as a person. That's what I want you feeling better about. Okay. All right. Julie, yes, we are moving off. Were you not a part of that conversation? Yes, we are moving off Facebook in the membership. Yeah, oh, it's like so exciting. I'll talk about it on today's call. So for those people who are members right now, I'm going to be moving over to the Wednesday, our midweek call Zoom. So meet me over there. But if you are on the podcast, thank you so much for being a part of this. I'm so happy that you joined. And in the show notes, you'll have information. You'll have a link to be able to connect with me and get information about the Breakthrough membership. And I'm telling you, it is a life changer, because it is not about food. It is not about, I mean, yeah, you'll lose weight, but it's about a whole lot more than that. So I would be really excited and honored to be able to work with you. So if you have any questions, let me know. But otherwise, have an amazing Wednesday and an amazing week. And I will see you all very soon in the group or next week on the podcast. Don't go away. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. To begin your journey towards losing your weight and managing your emotional eating, sign up for my free course, Food Freedom. Go to www.kristinjonescoaching.com. KristinJonesCoaching.com, and click the link that says sign up for the free course.